The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Well, it's a Wednesday and we again have our special guest, Frances Mosier, with us. We're hearing about her life and experiences. But before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about our daily blog. You can subscribe to our blog by going to faithalone.org. So don't miss out on that. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Frances Mosier. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin, and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm here with Frances Mosier, and we've been talking about her background and how she came to free grace issues. Also, last time we talked about Art Farstad. Now, we didn't talk specifically about how you came to faith, so maybe you could talk about how did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and so I heard about the Lord Jesus from the time I was a little bitty girl. You needed to believe in Jesus and that had something to do with going to heaven. And I very strongly suspect that at some point during my childhood, I did hear a clear presentation of the gospel, and I did believe in Jesus and knew at that point that I had eternal life. However, because I was in a Southern Baptist church, and there are many good things about the Southern Baptist church, but unfortunately, they're not always consistent on clarity of the gospel.
Right.
And so apparently, you know, often I would hear you're supposed to repent, and I wasn't sure whether I'd have, you know, when I got saved, did I repent enough? Had I really been saved? So I believed once saved, always saved. But the issue was, did I get saved in the first place? And I think I probably was. And partly because I saw the Lord working in my life. And I know that's not something you necessarily go by, but it's something to consider. Now, after I married my husband, because he'd gone to Fuller Bible College, I wanted to know a little bit more about the college, and so I took a correspondence course through FBC, and that course was about the gospel, and that was when I got real clarity.
Okay,
I think that would be the way to say it. I think I was saved, but I got clarity about it when I did that correspondence course, and was just, you know, thrilled to see, especially that it is something objective. I believe there was a GES blog about that a few days ago, that your salvation is not something that because of how God is working in you, but it is because of what Jesus did apart from you.
Yes.
And that you put your trust outside of yourself and onto that. And,
right.
Having that clarified for me was just very thrilling.
Right. Well, that's great. Now, we're also going to talk about Zane Hodges, because when you were working with Art, part of that was the Hodges-Farstad majority text. You got to know Zane Hodges fairly well.
Yes, I did.
Now, Art was quite a character, but so was Zane, right?
They both were, but I'm also going to say that in addition to being characters and colorful people, both of them, they were two of the most godly men I have ever had the privilege
Amen.
Of knowing.
Amen.
And Art, I thought of Art like a father, although he wasn't old enough to be my father, but you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I felt that way towards him and also towards Zane. He was just a godly man. Everything that he did, I think, was focused on, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this what the Lord would have me to do?
Right.
Is this what the Lord would have us as a church to do?
Now, you ended up, after Art was promoted to glory, after a couple more years of trying to make the church go without Art's leadership, it ended up in disbanded, Christ Congregation did, and you came over then to the church that Zane Hodges was one of the teaching elders or
yes.
board members at Victor Street Bible Chapel.
Yes.
You were there for many years while Zane was one of the teaching pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you get to know Zane better during that time?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because we were with him, you know, several times a week. And so the godly character that he had just became more and more and more apparent, but also the fun-loving side of Zane. You know, he
right.
had a real sense of humor, and,
yeah.
You know, he could come out with some really funny stuff from time to time.
He did, didn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. During the time you were at Victor Street, Dan, your husband, had a series of health issues that came up, right?
Well, yes. Actually, before Victor Street, my husband has a hereditary condition called venous stasis. All of his siblings have suffered from this, and three of them have already gone to be with the Lord, and at least two of them partly as a result of this. And it just causes open wounds to form in your lower limbs. It's the same kind of thing that often is associated with diabetes, but in his case, it's not induced by diabetes. It's induced by this condition. We've been dealing with this for over 35 years now.
Wow.
So, you know, that has been an issue. Well, because of that, he's prone to frequent infections. And in 2016, an open wound started, and his doctor prescribed an antibiotic that it turned out he was very allergic to. He had a real severe reaction to that. It affected his kidneys, and so now we have another source of infection. But, you know, my husband, he's a godly man. He has the most wonderful attitude.
He
never complains about any of this, never, oh, God, why me? He just tools along. He, you know, is in his Bible and reading the Bible and praying every day, and he's a real example to me. But, yes, he's dealt with a lot of health issues.
Well, and he had a major stroke, too.
Oh, yes, he did. In 2004, he had a stroke. Uh-huh.
And that stroke left him with some paralysis.
Well, I don't know if I call it paralysis, but he has weakness and disability on his right. He has limited use of his right side. But he was left-handed, so
that's
that was
the
good.
Good news, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's had to use a walker for a number of years.
Yes, he has to use a walker to get around. And, in fact, he really needs to sit on his walker because that's what he can get up from.
Oh.
So it kind of limits where we go and what we do. But right now we go to church every Sunday. And as long as he can sit up against a wall in his walker, he's fine. He has to have a wall because he has to brace against the wall to get up from the walker.
Now, you're going to another Free Grace church in the Metroplex now, right?
We are, yes.
Now, what's the name of that church?
The Free Grace Bible Church.
Sounds like a good name.
We like that name.
That's Dr. John Brummett, right?
Yes, it is. And you, in fact, encouraged us about going to that church. When we began seeking a new church home, we visited several places, and we loved them all. But you kept saying, you really need to check out Free Grace Bible Church with John Brummett. And we did. And the first time we went, we knew that's where we belonged.
They're very loving fellowship.
They are loving. And he's just a wonderful Bible teacher. And the people there are just seem all very committed to the Lord.
Amen. So, one of the things that Zane has become very well known for is this idea that assurance is of the essence of saving faith.
Yes.
And the expression often used is that we believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
Yes.
And I know that's become something that's very, very dear to your heart. Maybe you could talk about that and how you came to really see that as a very, very important issue.
It is an important issue because the Gospel of John is the gospel that is specifically, it says its purpose is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Amen.
Well, in John chapter 11, we get the definition of what the Christ is. He says you're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So in the conversation with Martha prior to Jesus' raising Lazarus,
right,
he says, do you believe this? You know, that whoever believes him is going to have life. And he says, do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, I believe that you're the Christ, and she stated that she believes in the resurrection. So in that conversation, the definition of Jesus, and Zane brought this out, the definition of Christ is the guarantor of eternal life. That's what the Christ is. So when you believe in Jesus as the Christ, if you're not believing in him as the guarantor of eternal life, you're not believing in him as the Christ.
Yeah, and you know, this has become somewhat of a controversy because there are some people, I shouldn't say some people, lots of people who say if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, he rose again, and he's God, then you're born again, even if you don't believe that you have everlasting life, or we could say the equivalent, like, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, or I know I'm justified once for all. Mm. Some people use the expression God's forever family, but the problem with that is then ultimately, like you say, they're not really believing John 3:16 or John 11:25 and 26 or John 6:47 or even Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace you've been saved through faith. You have been saved. It's an accomplished fact. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So as you know, within evangelicalism, some people say, well, you have to turn from your sins and believe, or they'll define believing as commitment or as some sort of surrender or obedience. And they'll say you have to persevere either to stay saved or in order to prove you're saved. But all of that really comes back to, as you mentioned, the Gospel of John is so simple. Mm-hmm. If we would just major there and then understand the rest of the New Testament in light of it, it would be so much easier.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how many pastors, especially in Southern Baptist circles, like you've mentioned, that was your background, where they will say something like, justification is by faith alone, apart from works. Faith alone, that's it. So if you simply repent and believe, you will be saved. And they don't seem to understand, they just contradicted themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
What most people mean when they say you need to repent and believe is they mean something like you've got to be willing to turn from your sins or you've got to turn from your sins. And ultimately, they're getting away from the promise of everlasting life.
Yes. It's just that promise is just so simple and so clear. When you read the Gospel of John and you understand that that was the purpose of the book, it's so clear. Jesus himself said time after time, he who believes in me has everlasting life, period, the end.
Yeah.
Nothing more. The word repent is never used in the Gospel of John. Never.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, about, I guess, a month ago, I had a debate with a Roman Catholic apologist. He defends Roman Catholicism, Robert Sungenis. And I asked him in the course of the debate, I said, John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. And he said, right. I said, do you believe in Jesus? He said, oh, absolutely. I said, well, then what's true of you? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the verse says whoever believes in him will not perish. Are you guaranteed that you're never going to perish? He said, well, as long as I'm faithful to Christ, as long as I believe in him and obey him. I said, but you said you believe in him, and the verse says whoever believes in him will not perish. Doesn't that mean you'll never perish? And he says, yeah, you're twisting things.
How?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. The bottom line is what people do is they take verses from James or Hebrews or 1st through 3rd John or whatever, and they take those out of context and misinterpret them. And then they reinterpret the Gospel of John in light of their faulty understanding
exactly
of these other texts. Well, thank you, Francis. We'll have another episode in which we'll talk about some of the other aspect of Francis's life. So keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to return with Francis Mosier, and we're going to talk a bit about children's ministry. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.